Hi, I'm T. Morris. I'm the author of Podcasting for Dummies, Expert Podcasting for Dummies, The Moravi Saga, Billabub Battings and the Case of the Singing Sword, and my latest novel, Billabub Battings and the Case of the Pitcher's Pendant.
And I'm Philippa Ballantyne, author of Chasing the Bard, Weaver's Web, and the new novel, Digital Magic.
To help out with our Double Trouble event on August 8, 2008, the Backseat Producers have published a series of short movie reviews. There are 8 of them in all, and they all feature the number 8 in the title. Sadly, they couldn't make them all 8 minutes in length. Snipers. After enjoying these reviews, why not pay Amazon.com a visit? On August 8, 2008, at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, U.S., and pick up your copies of The Case of the Pitcher's Pendant, A Billabub Battings Mystery by T. Morris, and Digital Magic by Philippa Ballantyne. Thanks again for listening. And now, the Backseat Producers.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Tony.
And welcome to... Actually, this one is going to be the last of the Double Trouble mini-episodes. This is going to be number 8.
For T and Pips... Oh, man, I can never say his thing. Billabub Battings in the Case of the Pitcher's Pendant.
There you go.
Pips Digital Magic.
There you go. That's
on 8808 at 8 a.m.
You got it after we recorded 8 of these. You finally got it.
Yes, I did.
Yes,
you can even teach some dogs new tricks, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, and I haven't had a chance to read Case of the Pitcher's Pendant yet, but it is available as a free download. If anybody wants to preview it before they buy it, you actually can do that. You can. There are a number of feeds that have the book available to download for free before you buy it. So if you're on the fence, you can do that. It's a pretty sweet deal. But anyway, from what I understand, I know that the Billabub Battings stories take place in Chicago, and they take place in the early part of the 20th century. If I am not mistaken, this one actually has some references to the events in that we're going to talk about in the movie 8 Men Out, which is the movie that we're reviewing. I don't know if we said that yet.
Now, I did not know that the Pitcher's Pendant had to do with this specifically. Now, are you saying it has to do with the Black Sox scandal or Shoeless Joe Jackson
You know what? I haven't read the book, so I'm not I don't know the specifics, but I believe that if nothing else, I believe that it references the Black Sox.
Okay.
So, because I know it takes place in the early part of the 20th century in Chicago. Al Capone was one of the characters in the first one, because this is actually the second Billabub Battings story.
Okay.
So. But anyway, I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to start throwing wrong information out.
Right.
So,
right.
But what I can tell you about is the movie 8 Men Out.
And what did you think about this movie?
I thought the pacing was kind of slow, but I liked it. I really did like the movie. It kind of got into. It really showed how something like this could happen. It's such a huge event and a huge black mark on baseball in the U.S. that you don't really understand how a whole team can get swayed to throw the World Series. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. One thing I think that the movie does really set out to do, and I think it does, is it explains how this could happen.
Yeah, it does a pretty good job of that. I mean, and it doesn't hide the fact that sports, even in 1919, was still all about money.
Exactly. And those guys weren't making any.
That's right. And that's one of the major impetus to throw the... Throw the World Series. Probably the only one. It's probably the only major impetus.
Check out you, impetai.
I don't even know if that's correct, but If it's a Latin word, it's correct. If not, it's
it sounds good to me.
So, it's a Latin root.
Now this,
but anyway,
one thing to note about the movie is that that there were a lot of young actors in the movie at the time. The movie was made in the late 80s, I think like 88, 89, something like that, who have gone on to have, you know, much bigger careers. Let's see.
Yeah, it's a real who's who of some guys who have broken through only recently, even.
Right, right.
David Strathairn is one.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think. There was another guy.
John Cusack?
He's in Lost.
Oh.
Well, John Cusack, he was kind of big just shortly after that movie came out.
Right, right.
But the guy from Frasier is in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's this guy. He's in Lost now, and he plays just as evil of a man in Eight Men Out. He's got a real wicked smile. I guess that's why he gets all these evil roles. So, but he's in it, too. And there were even some other guys that I thought I recognized but just couldn't place, you know? Like, there's just a lot of good character actors in it.
Michael Rooker was in it. He played the dad of the girl in Mallrats. He was bald.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was in it. D.B. Sweeney, who's been in a number of movies. Let's see, Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen, yeah. This was after Platoon and Wall Street, so this was kind of actually a step down for him at that point. He played kind of a minor role in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of hard not to play. I mean, that's the one thing about this is that, you know, each of the nine starters on the team were fairly well represented in the storytelling. At least enough that they all had speaking roles. It wasn't like they glossed over. I mean, they glossed over a few of them, but for the most part, you know, you could follow a character through the whole movie and you got his story, which is pretty tough to do when there's, you know, you're trying to get these eight guys telling not only how this could happen, showing how it happened through the World Series, but then also going through the court case that followed up after it.
It is, but there are three guys I think the film focuses on, and really it does so appropriately because the only three compelling storylines, really.
Right.
The guy who doesn't throw it but knows about it, the pitcher who, you know, is compelled to throw it but has doubts.
Right.
And then Shoeless Joe Jackson, who we don't really, I get the impression from the movie, we don't know whether he ever really did throw it or not. He just kind of, you know, dejectedly took the plate and played his game the way he, you know, normally plays.
Right.
But he seemed kind of like the silent victim. I thought Joe Jackson was an interesting character because they even made him an immortal figure at the end of the film. Like,
oh, yeah, they did. They turned him into kind of like they made him a legend. You know, they kind of put their own spin on the epilogue of the movie to really push him up to, like, a legendary status.
And, of course, everyone knows, like, the Shoeless Joe legend, but the way they made it, without giving anything away, was that kind of like a Field of Dreams kind of way. Like,
which Shoeless Joe is in Field of Dreams, too, so...
Well, sure, exactly, yeah. I mean, only a year later, in fact, yeah. So... Man, I don't know. Shoeless Joe was all the rage back in the late 80s, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, you know, like, it was definitely a way of making him pure and that the game, like, remained pure. Like, he was the vessel through which the game remained pure, even though all this stuff took place.
And, you know, what they did is they captured almost like a naive innocence about him.
Right.
Like a simple innocence. And I don't mean simple in too negative a way. I mean, he almost had like a quality that the best character that I can think of that's in pop culture, that has been in pop culture, would be like a Forrest Gump kind of character.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he didn't say a lot.
Yeah. he you know, he just wanted to play ball.
Right. You know, and people refer to him as not too bright.
Right.
You know, and yeah, he's definitely the simple, baseball's simple but forthright compass, I guess.
Right.
Although, the catcher's the one who's, well, I guess he doesn't know about it. They leave the catcher out.
Yeah, because so he had some big problems with all of it, because he really, you could tell he was really trying to play the game.
Right.
And it really drug him down.
Right. Yeah, is he D.B. Sweeney? Is he the guy you were talking about?
No. No.
Because the catcher is in some stuff, too. I know he's in Rescue Me, I think, and I think he was in NYPD.
D.B. Sweeney, Blue, I think. D.B. Sweeney was Shoeless Joe.
Oh, D.B. Sweeney was Shoeless Joe? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know which guy you're talking about. I can see him in my head, but I can't think of which character it was. But yeah.
Plays a lot of tough New York and Boston right. cops and people.
Okay, so overall, who would you recommend this movie to?
I would recommend this movie to any fan of baseball and any fan of just a good sports drama. You know, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody who is looking for a lot of action or suspense, because it's definitely a docudrama of a sports event. So I mean,
yes.
it appeals a great deal to me, but you know, probably not to everybody.
And it's going to appeal to somebody like you on a couple of different levels, in that they move to capture that moment in time in 1919. So it's kind of historical, and it's got that,
yeah.
that feel of a historical drama. The pacing is not it was still that 80s pacing that we've talked about in movies. Where it seems like at some point from the 80s into 90s, the pacing of the movie just changed. And it's got to be breakneck or it's just slow. And,
yeah,
and this movie is still before that. It's a very calculated, everything moves at its pace. And the story moves, don't get me wrong. It's not like you would be bored. But there's not high drama. There's not, you know, high tension. There's not super action. The story is just being told.
The tensions in the morality and the psychology of what the players are going through.
Right.
And there's not much of a place in the modern film industry for a story like that. But it really resonates if you like a good morality tale or a good morality play. And some good conversation, psychological drama. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I recommend it, and I think you nailed it by saying fans of baseball, fans of sports. I would throw in fans of history. You get the feel of 1920 Chicago, 1919, 1920 Chicago. I think
they're real good about that.
People who are fans of the old style gangster movie, not the gunfights and things like that. You're not getting to that, but just the psychological undertones of what's going on, the double dealing, you know, who's on which side of the fence. There's a lot of drama that plays out in who knows, what do they know, who is going to go along with it.
It's not the same type of movie, really, but I think if you liked The Sting, you'll like this movie.
Good call. Very good, yeah. I would agree. So there you go. Check out, I think we're both saying check out 8 Men Out. And,
yeah.
You know, I think this movie we may end up talking about again in a longer format. But
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, we'll have to bring Adam in on that one when we do that. In the meantime, make sure that on August 8th, 2008, you go out at 8 a.m. Pacific time and purchase Digital Magic by Philippa Ballantyne. And Billabub Battings and the Case of the Pitcher's Pendant by T. Morris. And you go to Amazon and do that, and let's make them shoot up the charts and show the big boys what a couple of folks who work hard and give away stuff for free can really do.
There you go.
All right, we'll see you next time with some full-length episodes of the Backseat Producers.
All right, good night, everybody.